you a message series called The Nehemiah Effect. I would invite you, please, to find that book of Nehemiah kind of in the middle of your Bible. And today's message titled A Fresh Start. The Message, which is a translation of the scriptures in Psalm 155:14, says God gives a fresh start to those ready to quit. Well, these Israelites in this time period were ready to quit. And maybe today you're ready to quit and you find yourself needing a fresh start. Here in Israel at this time, they had been in exile. Some of them were coming back to a destroyed city. The great temple was in ruins. The walls around the city were gone. They were under the thumb of foreign leadership. They had no hope to establish a national identity. They had no way to do anything. They were without hope. They were discouraged. And if anybody ever needed a fresh start, it was these people. The Nehemiah Effect, which is what we're talking about during this course of series, part of that Nehemiah Effect was to offer them and to give them a fresh start. So you may be in a situation today to need a fresh start. Maybe your marriage isn't going so good. Maybe there are issues of other kinds in your family. Maybe you're looking at some difficulties with a job. Maybe you're just, man, you're burnt out. You're empty. Your soul is dry. Church has become kind of hard. Hard to even get up and come. Hard to get excited about anything. It's just, you run out of gas. Sometimes once you get started, you need a refresher. And I would just tell you that the Nehemiah Effect is something that will give you a fresh start and a new beginning. And so I pray that as we work through today's message, then God would give you that fresh start that you need. We will be talking quite a bit about what's happening across the way in Higher Ground and talk about a new emphasis called Higher Ground 2.0. But let me just tell you, we're going to be looking at a fresh start when we get in those new buildings. It's going to be a new era, so to speak. And it's going to be incredibly exciting, and it's going to give us all a chance for a fresh start. Well, let's just begin when we talk about this Nehemiah effect, the fresh start. It begins with a set of problems. We preached this first sermon from Nehemiah last week, some of the same text, but a little different angle on them today. But look at verses 1 through 3 of the first chapter of Nehemiah. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. And so they had this really huge set of problems. As I mentioned, there was no hope for them. There was no way out. There was no way to get resources. There was no way to get leadership. Man, they just had a set of problems. And so Nehemiah shows up, and he shifts their perspective. And the way he shifts their perspective is, they begin to view their problems as possibilities and opportunities. And so they looked at the ruins, and as the Nehemiah effect stepped in, it was like, you know what? We have all this building material around here that we can rebuild these walls. And so their perspective begins to shift and to change. Now, how would your life be revolutionized if you took your problems? And did you know that everybody got problems? My first church, we had a neighbor who was an American Indian, and he told me one day, Brother Jim, people have more problems than anybody. I thought about that a little bit, and I said, you know, you're right. And so if you could view your problems as opportunities for God to step in and do something really outstanding and even unbelievable, I would tell you that would revolutionize your whole approach to living and your whole approach to life. And so look at your family. It's in ruins. Well, it's an opportunity for God to rebuild that. Look at your career. It's been shattered. God's given you an opportunity to rebuild. Whatever it may be that may be a problem that you have, God sees that as a great opportunity. And so there was a shift in their perspective as this Nehemiah effect began to overtake them. And then they followed that with a season of prayer. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And so Nehemiah is beginning to build up this vision in his heart, and man, he's praying over the problems, and he's serious about it. He is fasting. Now, if we could get Southern Baptists to fast, then it must be serious. He's weeping and he's praying and he's fasting because he sees the opportunity. He also knows the challenges that are there, and he's doing all this to move the hand of God. Now, I told you last week some dates, and we found out this week that the dates to get in over here may be moved back maybe a week or two. And that's going to be fine, right? We're flexible. That's not a problem. That's an opportunity. Good, good. I'm going to shorten the sermon 5 minutes because you did so good. So what we're trying to do, we're going to have a 40 days of prayer emphasis before we go in, because this wall that they're going to build, it wasn't an end to itself. It was a bridge to something much greater. It was a bridge to establish again a national identity for their nation. It was an opportunity for them to welcome God back into their lives as their God and He being their people. And so the wall was a bridge. It was a prayer issue. So what we're building out there is not an end to itself. It is a bridge to something greater, and we want to pray that in. And so we're going to try to hit up this 40 days of prayer to end on the day that we have our first worship service in that new building. So you're going to be getting an email or something that says, here's your prayer emphasis for the day, because we're praying that the building is not an end in itself. It is just a means to an incredible season of spiritual awakening in our church and in our community. And so Nehemiah is making this a season of prayer as this Nehemiah effect begins to build momentum. And then there comes a sea of provision. Now, I really like this part. Look at verses 6 and 8 of chapter 2. The king had noticed Nehemiah had a broken heart, a sad face. He said, "What's the matter?" And Nehemiah explained to him what the problem was, and he asked if he could go and help build the wall. And so it picks up in verse 6. It says, "And the king said to me," the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I asked for the good hand of my God was upon me. And so as the king said, "Yeah, well, what are you going to need?" Nehemiah was ready, and he had a laundry list of the materials and the resources that he needed. Now the king was the only person who could give them to him. And it was an accident that Nehemiah happened to be a servant of the king, and he knew him. And so the king granted him every provision that he needed to be successful. Now, please understand, one of the names for God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. So, provide is to see beforehand, combination of two words. And so any project that is going to put Jesus first and honor Him and fulfill God's great commission, God will tax the farther star to provide what you need to get that done. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this higher ground. If you remember, almost 3 years ago, we did a capital campaign raising some funds. We called it Higher Ground. The whole project is called Higher Ground. And we asked our people to make a 3-year financial commitment to give to the process. So we made commitments. They totaled $4.6 million above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. And so we're now like 4 months away from fulfilling the 3 years. At the end of December, there's $4.6 million committed. Man, we had given $4.8 million. So we're $200,000 ahead, and there's still 4 months left to go. And so God is abundantly providing. Now, let me add a little bit to that. Added what we have been able to put in through our church budget, and what we had when we started, as of now we've put in about $9 million in 3 years into that thing, cash. And so I'm telling you, God is absolutely providing, and that should be worth, I say, praise the Lord. And so as we're heading forward, we're going to move into something called Higher Ground 2.0. And I would ask you, if you have been giving the Higher Ground and God has done some really awesome things, and many of you have shared some of these stories with me about how God has moved in your life in really outstanding ways during the course of that, how He's provided for you to give. If you could contact me and let me know that you have a story, we want to hear that, and that could be a great encouragement to all of us. So if you got one of those, just be on notice. We'd like to hear that. So do that. So we're going to start a Higher Ground 2.0 that's coming up soon. And it's kind of an old joke. I hesitate to tell it, but it does get a laugh or two, so I'm going to go ahead and tell it. It's kind of like the pastor got up one day and he said, "Hey, we got a project going. I want you to know we got all the money that we need to get it done." Everybody said, "That's good. That's the good news." He said, "The bad news is it's still in your pockets." So we're coming up to Higher Ground 2.0, and I'm telling you, God is providing, and He will continue to do that. He's got people, He's got plans, and it's going to be an incredible step. And so God is a provider, and Nehemiah, in this Nehemiah effect, encountered a sea of provision. There's a fourth thing about this fresh start. There was a selection of people. Notice in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, "And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' So they strengthened their hands for the good work." And so there were those who heard him. They heard Nehemiah's vision. And they began to look at their problems and said, "These are opportunities." And they began to hear about how God is providing. And they began to say, "We can do this. Let's rise up and let's get this done." Because again, there was this Nehemiah effect that's changing their perspective of things. Now think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was in the city of Corinth. He had never done anything in that city before. There was going to be a great church established there. And we have two letters in the New Testament sent to that church, 1 and 2 Corinthians. But he's there in that city, and he's gone through a hardship, and he's a little bit frightened. He's concerned about his own personal safety. He is distraught. I think he's discouraged. I think he is ready to quit. He needed a fresh start. And so it says in Acts chapter 18, verse 10, he got a word from the Lord. It said, "For I am with you." Now that's a pretty good deal. And he says, "And no one will attack you to harm you." God said that. "For I have many in this city who are my people." Well, now, wait a minute. There was no church in Corinth. There was no believers in Corinth. What Paul saw when he looked at Corinth were the problems. He saw the sinfulness. He saw the immorality. He saw the violence. He saw that he himself was in danger. But when God saw that, he saw all the people that he knew were going to be saved through Paul's witness. It was an incredible shift in perception. Let me tell you a few things that we can see about Forney. The school system had 10% growth this year. Pretty strong growth. There are 1,000 new home starts this year in Forney. It's the first time we've hit 1,000 in 1 year. There are 3,400 starts currently underway. And there are 21,000 new home starts that are on the books. So when I tell you that, what do you think about? I think about traffic. I think I'll never go north of Highway 80 again in my life. But let me tell you what God is seeing. He is seeing a literal sea of people, many who are lost, who don't know Him, and He's bringing them into our wheelhouse. And so I'm telling you, that's what this building is about. It's not a building for building's sake. It's because we have got thousands of people that we can reach with the best news that anybody has ever heard. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so We got to get on board with that, because let's rise up in our personal life, in our church life. This is the year to rise up. And I will tell you that I'm not stopping at the building. I'm already dreaming beyond that and looking at some strategies that we're going to be able to do beyond that, because that's not going to get them all, and it's not going to get everybody that God wants us to reach. So we're planning and strategizing into the future, and it's going to be an incredible thing. And so I pray that you would step up as one of those supporters. But when we're talking about a selection of people, there were also some detractors. And the Bible tells about them in verse 19 of that second chapter. It says, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?'" So they said, "You can't get this done. This is ridiculous." They began to spread rumors that they were actually doing a rebellion. They began to give bad reports. They began to threaten the people doing the work. They even attempted an assassination of Nehemiah, because they knew if that wall got built, man, the Jewish people were back. Man, they didn't want that to happen. And so they found themselves fighting against the work. I will tell you, in your personal life, when you begin to take some steps toward doing what the Lord would have you do, you're going to end up facing some naysayers and opposition. And they're going to tell you you can't do it. They're going to tell you you don't need to do it. People will talk about you. I mean, all kinds of things will happen to you. And so, man, you just got to buckle up and go through them. I think about our project. We've had a few naysayers, a few detractors. I didn't get any death threats, which was nice. But I would just tell you, man, it's time to get on board with this. Maybe you're on board. I would tell you it's better to be actually a part of a great work of God than to watch it be a part of the work of God. So, man, get on board with this thing. Maybe you weren't financially able to do the first go-around, then you need to get on board the second go-around, because I'm telling you, it's the ride of a lifetime. And it's going to be absolutely astounding. There is a fifth thing I would ask you to note, and that is there was a surge of perseverance. You look at chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says, "From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on a wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. If he blew the trumpet, that meant come and get involved in the fight." This is an incredible picture of ministry. You have an incredible commitment that you're going to build the kingdom of God with one hand, and with the other hand, you're having to fight off the devil. And I want to tell you this, I don't know if it is to you guys, but this is an appeal to my manhood that I really like. What could be more manly than building something for God while you're fighting the devil with the other hand? What could be better than building something for God with a sword strapped to your side? That's not a Gillette ad right there. Said, "What does that mean?" Look, Google Gillette ad. Some guy said that. I said, "Well, they want us to start shaving our legs, but we won't go there." I already went there, didn't I? And so it was very personal. It was personal. We need to take the whole thing personal. What I mean by that is, later he says each man is going to build the wall by his own house. And so it wasn't like everybody else was going to build the thing. They're going to build the wall that was on their house. And what that ensured was that man was going to build a really good wall, because it's protecting his house. And he knew his neighbor was going to build a really good wall, because that wall was by his house. I'm just telling you, you and I need to be building the wall by our house, because it's for our kids. For our grandkids, if you have grandkids. We must have a strong Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, preaching with the right motivation, because there are enemies out there that are out to destroy us, and we are responsible to build a wall by our own church, by our own house, by our own family. What that means is, you need to be building a wall by your house. Right here. So do you. So do you. And so do y'all. So do y'all. You do too. You got this guy. You need to build a big wall except him. Y'all need to build a wall by your house. Everybody does. Your neighbor depends on it. Your family depends on it. You need to be building a wall. Brother Deacon, you need to be building a wall as your house. So do you and you. Oh, I said you. You need to build a double wall. You people in the shadows, I can see you. All on the back, you think you can hide. No, I can see you. You need to build a wall behind your. You need to build a wall by your house. So do you. So do you guys over here in the corner. Y'all need to. Heaven help y'all. Y'all need to. You need to build a wall. You do, you do, you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what Nehemiah was saying? Because it's not about a wall. It was about a new national identity. This building is not about a building. This building is about spiritual awakening and showing this world that God is still at work through the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So take it personal. God will give you a fresh start. It's the Nehemiah effect. There's a sixth one. There was a supply of preservation. Verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And in verse 15 of chapter 6, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. I said last week it would have been great to have that as a contractor for our stuff. When we were in Austin, there was a pastor that retired from a really large, influential church in Alabama. And his kids lived in Austin. He moved there to be near them, and he joined our church. And the church that he had built was one of the most influential, largest, incredible churches that existed in America at that time. And so I got to know him. He became friends and a prayer partner with me. And I asked him, I said, what did you do? How did you lead in order to grow that church like you grew it? Because I knew, obviously, he was a great communicator. He was a visionary. He was a leader. And so I was really anxious to hear some of the stuff to grow and to learn from that. And he said with a gleam in his eye, he said, I tell you what the key was, Brother Jim. He said, the people had a mind to work. What he was saying was, I didn't do it on my own. The people had a mind to work. Nehemiah couldn't build this wall on his own. The people had to have a mind to work. We're not going to do anything over there if I'm the one that's got to do it. But when you and I, all of us, get a mind to work, my goodness, what God could do through us. What God can do through us. Well, let me tell you a few things that we got coming up. We got, of course, the completion of the building. Then we'll have first worship. We got Easter coming up, right? We'll have a dedication for the building coupled with our 150th birthday as a church. I'll have my 25th anniversary tucked in there somewhere. If you'd like to buy me a new Camaro, that'd be great. And so, Higher Ground 2.0, another stage of capital giving. So all that's happening. If I can live through May, I'm going to feel really good about it. And so, man, I want to tell you, I said when we relocated, it's a chance of a lifetime to see an incredible work for God. And it's not just to build the building, it's for what's on the other side. And that is spiritual awakening and renewal. We had one information meeting last Sunday with the Next Gen leadership. Talked about what's coming, what's going to look like over there. And there's going to be another leadership meeting next Sunday. Two of them, actually, one at 11 o'clock, one at noon. And that's with all the other leadership. And so make certain that you've got your people here. They're going to hear about the plans, the structure, and a lot of other things, and timing. That's next Sunday. And then on February the 10th, there's another kind of information opportunity meeting. And they're calling it the Worship Ministry Discovery Lunch. So I want you to listen to what this is about. If you are gifted and you can sing, or if you think you can sing, but you think you might want to be on a praise team when we go into the New Deal, maybe you want to be in a choir or something like that, then come to that meeting and you're going to hear how we're going to put together some rotating schedules to get as many as we can who can participate in leading worship. If you can play an instrument, then come to that meeting, because we want to let our people that are gifted and talented that we don't know have gifts and talents come to the forefront and be a part of our stuff. If you have a desire and some abilities with tech stuff, what we're going to over there is we'll have a person that's up in a control room with a bunch of monitors controlling everything, and I'm praying that person won't be watching the Cowboys up in there. There's no guarantees. But there's going to be a little army of people we're going to need with the tech stuff. And so, February 10th, if you have an inkling that you might like to be a part of something like that, to lead in worship, sing, play, to have a part of technology, come to that meeting, because I'm telling you, we got a lot of people with hidden talents. They're not hidden. They're hidden to us. We just don't know them. And it will give you a chance to step forward. So please be aware of that as we all are headed toward this brand new fresh start. And I tell you, it's going to be beyond anything that we could dream. Got our music people. They're going to come and lead us in the last song of the morning. And I will tell you that when we moved out here, we looked at all that God did and just realized that this work was done by God. And I will tell you it was. In the last couple of weeks, I've gone back into some of my files and I'm looking at some correspondence and notes and stuff from the latter part of the 90s when we were kind of laying the groundwork to come out here. And it was astounding, some of the stuff, as I recall, that God was doing in our church. In fact, there was a couple of weeks when we had great revival meetings and had 200, 250 people come to know Christ in 1 week. By the way, we're thinking about doing another old school revival meeting maybe. Would y'all be up for something like that? Would you? Would you come if we did it? So anyway, just an astounding, amazing what God has done, and He's about to write another chapter. And so let this Nehemiah effect step into your life, catch you up in the momentum, and be a part of this incredible new start that God has given us. So I want to ask you three questions. First question I want to ask you is this. Is there anything in your life God wants you to start doing? Is there anything in your life that God wants you to start doing? Let me ask you a second question. Is there anything in your life that God wants you to stop doing? And the third question is there any reason not to do what God wants? And so I would just lay those before you and tell you we can do a new start, the Nehemiah effect, and hold on to your seats, because God has some incredible stuff right in front of our future. Make certain that you get in on it. Now today, you need maybe to take the first step in a first start. You've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, maybe never followed Him in believer's baptism, and you like to begin the process of making the fresh start. There'll be staff right here at the front as we're singing this last song. You'll make your way to one of them and just say, I need to get a fresh start going here. Then we'll help you do that. Maybe part of your fresh start is joining our church. Maybe you're visiting with us. Maybe you've been visiting for a long time. I'd like to invite you to get on board with us in a formal way. We'll have staff here who'll greet you and help you make that happen. Maybe today, as a member of our church, man, you would say to me, Brother Jim, you know, I'd hate to admit this, but man, I am just dry. I'm finding it hard even to get to church anymore. I'm making myself. You need a fresh start, a fresh touch. I can't give that to you, but Jesus Christ can. And maybe you just need to come and kneel on these steps and just say, Dear God, give me something into my dry soul. And you might be amazed at what God will do in your family and your life as He gives you a fresh start, as the Nehemiah effect kicks into your life. So say yes to your next opportunity. And when you hit that next intersection of your life, which you may be at one now, make certain you take God's path. And God will build a great wall in your life, do a great work in your life, and that will take you to something even greater on the other side. Let's stand together as we worship. I invite you, if you need a fresh new start, make your way to the front for counsel, for prayer, and we'll do everything we can to assist you along the way. To give your life to the Lord, please come. To join our church, here's your invitation. Would you come right now as we begin to sing?